I'm Kevin Redden. I wrote this paper with Nico Goldi, the main author, and under the supervision of Jean-Pierre Seifert from the Technical University of Berlin. And today I'm going to talk about exploiting broadcast information in GSM networks. And the first thing you might say, and actually the main critic on this paper, is why GSM? GSM is an old standard. GSM has been shown to be broken in several ways, and still we continue, and we decided to use GSM. That's actually a good point to make. But GSM is still relevant. I mean, GSM is the first which have been deployed and massively deployed. There's GSM everywhere. In some country, there is only GSM. Even in Western countries, you have UMTS and LTE, but the coverage is not as good as GSM. And it still exists. It copes with a lot of traffic, and it won't die. It will still continue. And think of all the vending machines which are still using GSM and not UMTS because it's simpler and because they are sitting there. So that's one of the reasons. Another reason is that GSM has been the first successfully mobile network, and all the remaining generations, UMTS, LTE, and so on, are based on the same principle. So the attacker will present here might also work and will also work on UMTS and so on. But we also choose GSM because there is a baseband which we can use to implement this attack and to test this attack works. And this, we only have modifiable basebands for GSM. We don't have any for UMTS or LTE, so we cannot test this attack on LTE. And that's the last reason why we use GSM. So the contribution of the works, I will show how to exploit broadcast information to block incoming services, which are called mobile terminated. I'll show how to make a denial of service attack, how to hijack sessions, SMSs, and so on. We implemented it, we tested it in European countries, and we also showed how to do a large denial of service attack over large geographical areas. But first, let's talk about paging. In mobile networks, paging is the mechanism which is used by the mobile network to warn the phone that an incoming service is there, it's waiting for you. So whenever the phone registers to the mobile, to the base station, it first registers, and then it will stay most of the time idle, and it wakes up every 250 milliseconds to listen to this paging channel, broadcast channel. And this is how the network, when he needs to page, it will send a message on this channel. So this saves a lot of battery. Another trick which saves a lot of battery in GSM is that once the phone registers, it doesn't register just for a unique cell, but the phone registers for the whole location area. And we will see a bit later on what the location area is. But a location area has thousands of cells. And whenever the phone moves within this location area, it won't register all the time with a new base station because there are too many of them. It will only register if it changes location area. So the network has no idea where the phone is within this location area because the phone doesn't tell where it is. So the trick is that all the base station within this location area will page on this channel. We send a paging message on this channel over the whole location area so the phone can listen to it and then can use the base station. Here's how the paging procedure works. You see, where is my mouse? Here. So here we have all the base stations from the location area are sending the paging requests on this paging channel, and all the phones are listening to it. Within this paging request, there is an identity, the identity of the phone for which the mobile terminated service is for. So all the phones which are here verify is the identity my identity, and if it's my identity, then I will request a channel to the base station which I have the best link to. The base station now knows where I am. It will ask me to connect to a channel. It will assign me a channel. So the phone tunes to this channel and then sends, OK, I got your paging response. What do you want from me? And before the session is established, they authenticate. So the base station will authenticate the phone, will establish the ciphering. So the authentication is to be sure it's the right phone. They will start the ciphering to have an encrypted communication over the air, and then there is a service delivery. So then the network will tell, okay, I have an SMS for you, or I have an incoming call for you. And so before that, the phone doesn't know what's incoming. It just knows there's something incoming, the phone won't ring, and so on. It will only ring when it knows which kinds of services is communicated here. But what's important here is that all base stations within the location area send it to all phones. So that's broadcast information. Everyone can listen to it. And before, it was trusted. So normally phones are trusted. Only the right phone should behave, should the right the phone with the right identity should ask for a channel. And now we have modified baseband. What happens if we have a phone which just doesn't have this identity, but impersonates another phone and says, okay, that's my identity? What happens if this malicious phone sends the paging response before the true phone? That's an interesting question. And this is how we exploit the broadcast information. So because GSM has a lot of states within the mobile, within the baseband and within the base station, it's quite complex. And we wanted to see what happened and how the state machines are implemented and so on. So first thing we want to have is a phone which sends this paging response before all other phones, because we want to win this race condition. And the way to do this is we used the project called Osmocom BB, where you can flash your own baseband software on the phone. So it's a commodity phone, it's nothing special, it's quite cheap. And they already have an application where actually the layer one, which was responsible for the physical connection, is on the phone. And then the phone is connected to the PC, and layer two and layer three, which is there for handling the paging procedure, the calls and so on, are on the PC. And obviously, the communication between the phone and the PC over the serial link is quite a bottleneck, but also the whole scheduling and so on implemented in layer two and layer three takes also a lot of time. So we stripped all of it. And on the baseband, we used the same layer one, and then we implemented a subset of layer two, layer three, which is just there to respond to this paging request, so sending the paging response and requesting the channels. So it's very stripped down. There is not a lot of scheduling and so on. We wanted to test if it's really faster than commercial phones. So most of the basements in the phones are from either Qualcomm or Intel. This is 60% of the market, but there are also several other ones. So we took one from each baseband vendor and tested the time with it. For that, we used another open source project, which is called OpenBTS. So the idea here is that you use a software-defined radio, and on top of it, there is a GSM stack. This allows us to measure the time between the paging request we're sending and the channel request from the phone, and then the paging response for the phone. And how we measured it is we just sent 250 SMSs, and we measured this time between the paging request and the channel response and the paging response. And these are the results. So here we have the phones with the individual basebands, so baseband vendors, and here we have the times on the y-axis. So on red, it's the channel request, and on green, it's the paging response, the time we see. And we can see that Osmocom layer 2.3 is about the same than commercial phones, but our Osmocom layer 1 attack, which is stripped down and very fast, is really, really fast. It's faster than all other phones. And what's also interesting to see is, if you take a look at the Nokia 3310 and the Nokia 900, which have 10 years of difference, you will see that the times are very similar. So we think that this is because GSM has been implemented early and nobody wants to mess with it. It works, so it's quite okay. And vendors are putting more time into implementing 3G, LTE, and so on. So even if the power of the CPU is increasing, the timing response the timing response won't decrease, the paging response won't decrease. And we've seen this on this vendor, but we're sure the other vendor has the same principle. And also, if you take a look at the Xperia, so on the Xperia, it's also quite, it's a recent phone, it's 2 years old, and it's also quite slow. But what's important to know is that our phone is the fastest, and that's good to win the race. So we tried it, and we sent the paging response. And what happens is that we are first, and the state machine is so that the first who sends the paging response should have the message delivered to. Because we don't pass the authentication phase, we either close the channel or leave it open and don't do anything, the operator will not be able to give us the mobile terminated services, but it will only try to give to us the mobile terminated services. It will not send it to the real phone. So we stole the session. And this way, we can do a DOS attack, because if we don't take the service, the call will be dropped, or the SMS will not be delivered, and the victim phone has no idea that this happened. We just stole the call. And how about going a bit further on and stealing the session itself? So to steal the session, you need the victim's identity. You first need to find that out, and you need the credentials to pass the authentication and ciphering. Normally, these credentials are stored in the SIM card, so you don't have access to it. But we will see that because of GSM, it's still feasible. First, the identity. So in mobile communication, you have two identities, the IMSI, which is the permanent identity of the subscriber. It's stored within the SIM card. It's always the same. And to find out the IMSI of a subscriber, you just use HLR request. There are services for that, and they will give you the IMSI. The thing is that mobile networks don't page often with IMSI. They do it, but not very often. The obvious reason is for privacy reasons. If you can listen to all paging requests, and if you know this IMSI is paged, then you know this subscriber is in this location area. So what happens if when a subscriber registers to network, it gets a temporary identity, which is called TIMSI, and afterwards the network only uses this temporary identity, and this is to protect privacy. So we want to find out, the TIMSI of the subscriber, and we didn't, so this resource was already existing. We just used it. That's why it's good to use other GSM exploits. And the idea is that you have two phones, one which monitors the paging channel all the time, and one which makes the call to the victim phone. So you leave the call long enough, so the network sends the paging request, but you just cancel the call before the session is established and before the phone rings, so before the phone knows that an incoming session. And this takes about three seconds. And because you're on the other phone, you're still listening to the paging request all the time, you filter out, and between 10 and 20 requests, you have the unique identity and you know, okay, this subscriber has this TIMSI. So this is how we got to figure out the TIMSI. Now, how we figure out the session keys, this is also already done by Cast Null, is that GSM uses weak encryption algorithms. Some countries don't use any encryption at all, so here there's no problem. And in Europe or in other countries, they use encryption FF2 and FF1, and both of them have been broken, and in real time, you can, by sniffing the uplink communication of the subscriber, you can find out the session key which have been used. What's interesting is that the session key is renewed at every time the phone makes a call. So every time there is a mobile originating service, there is a new session key. But this is not the case for mobile terminated services. So whenever a call comes in, the network is lazy and will reuse the session key which is done previously. And we've seen in 50% of the network, only authenticate 10% of the time, so change the key 10% of the time. And this has been also the case here where we tested it in Germany. That's why once we knew the session key, we had the identity, we could really hijack we could pass the authentication, we could pass the ciphering, and this way we were first to respond with the paging response, and we got the SMS or we got the phone call, and we really stole the session from the victim phone without the victim noticing it. And the operator can also not know that it's a adversary or an attacker doing it because we have the right credentials. And we answered first. Everything went right. What's also interesting is that why actually just target one subscriber? What if we do our paging attack, so DOSing and dropping the call on all the requests we're listening, on all the paging requests we get, because in this whole location area, every subscriber will be paged, and we can listen to all this broadcast information. So what's interesting to see is how big is this location area, how many users are there, what's the traffic, how many paging requests are there, and can one phone handle DOS all these sessions? What we did is we took a car, a GPS to know where we are, and phones which just listen to the broadcast information sent by the base station. Within this broadcast information, there is obviously the location area where you are, and this way we could know which base station was in which location area, and we could make a map of it. So this is for the Berlin Vodafone network, and as you can see, Berlin is quite a big city, and still there is only 5 main location areas which are really big. And what's useful is, even if the subscriber is here, and if the paging incoming is here, if we're here, we can still make the attack and DOS the subscriber which are here. We can DOS all subscribers within here. The location area within cities are a bit smaller because lots of subscribers, so between 100 and 300 square kilometers. Actually, it's on average, it's 200, 250 square kilometers. But using other databases, which we didn't do ourselves, we calculated a location area of 1,000 square kilometers. This is in rural region where you don't have that many subscribers. So you can, so the cover, the size of a location area is quite big. So then we want to see what's the traffic. So here on the x-axis, we monitored four operators which are existing in Germany. So over one day, this is the day. And here we can clearly, and this is the subscriber which are paged during this day, the number of subscriber which are paged. So we can see we wake up at 8, then it increases, and then we go to sleep at 8 again. So it's really correlated to human activity. We can see also some quite differences between the operators. So every operator is free to choose whatever, however big they want to have their location area. Vodafone has a lot of subscribers, but Vodafone also pages twice the phone. We don't know why, they just send a paging, the same paging request 2 seconds afterwards. That's why there are a lot of more paging requests. We measured also on our phone. So our phone can do one attack per second. This includes getting the TMZ, requesting a channel, tuning to this channel, sending the paging response, and then tuning back to this paging channel so we can continue the attack. And this is about one paging attack per second. So one paging attack per second won't be enough to attack to cop for all the paging requests. We've seen we have between 400 and 500 at peak time paging requests. But we can spread it around the phone. So if you use 11 phones, or that's the calculation we made in the paper, with 11 phones, you can DOS all the paging activity for a network like E+, something which is in this range at peak time. We also calculated that a single BTS can cope with all our paging attacks. So we just have to spread the paging request within the phones, and then we can use one or two base stations which can cope for all the traffic. And you might say, yeah, 11 phones, that's quite a lot. It's not that much. I mean, the phones are available and they are between $5 and $20, so it's really practical to deny all mobile terminated services within the location area for all time. And there is another trick, again, another TSM attack, which is, it also works on UMTS, by the way, which is called the IMSI detach. So whenever a phone powers down, it will send an IMSI detach message saying, okay, I will power down, don't give me any mobile terminated services anymore, don't page me again. What's interesting is that this message is not authenticated. You just need to set the identity, you don't need to authenticate, and then you just close this connection. So what we do is we do a paging attack, and just after the paging attack, we send an additional IMSI detach message and say, this phone, don't page this phone anymore, it's down. It works because it's not authenticated. So with time, you continue decreasing the number of phones which are paged, and with less phone, you can even cope with this, all this traffic. So what we've shown is that we can target a specific user, we can DOS it whenever we want, we can steal his sessions, at least in GSM, and we can also DOS block all mobile terminated services within the location area. And while this hijacking is possible to prevent because you just have to authenticate the mobile terminated services all the time, preventing the DOS attack is really, really hard. So you either have to change the JSM specification, which won't happen, or you have to change the state machines in the base station, and it's really expensive, and I think that won't happen anymore. I'll have to thank Dimitri for the title, which is quite nice, and the Osmocom people, which gave us the tool. And if you want to have the demo video of our attack, there are the two links for the hijacking and for the DOS attack. If you want to play yourself with it, just download the source code, apply it on the Osmocom thing and on the Osmocom source code, and then you can use this attack. Also, please do it only on your phones and not on whole location areas. Won't be fun. If you have questions, I'm finished.
Hello, Kevin. Bonjour. So this is very nice work. You provided more details about the attack than on the countermeasures.
Aha, exactly. Countermeasures.
Yes.
That's why I have all the slides.
Good.
So the countermeasure. So if you do authentication at and you send a session key all the time, then you prevent the hijacking. If you use FF3, which is a new algorithm and which won't be broken, then you also prevent hijacking. The problem is that most of the phones don't handle that well FF3. That's why the network operators don't use FF3 at least on the GSM.
So what's FF3? Can you just?
FF3 is the encryption algorithm which is used over the air. We can crack the session keys because the encryption algorithm which are used over the air are quite weak. This is A51 and A52.
A53, you mean?
Yeah,
A53.
Okay, good. Yeah, A53. Okay. If you refresh the TeamZ all the time also, and don't keep the one, so every time the phone connects, you refresh the TeamZ, then you can prevent the DOS, the targeted DOS. We cannot identify it anymore. And if you want to prevent the DOS for random TeamZs, it's really hard. You either have to authenticate the paging request, which is not in the specification and won't change, or you have to implement in all base station a state machine that says, don't deliver the service until it's really authenticated. And yeah, that's a prevention mechanism.
Right. I mean, I've been dealing with mobile networks and networks in general for like 25 years, so I know how much inertia there is in this field. So can you be more specific? I mean, you say we can change it, change that, etc. I mean, you don't change GSM, right, anymore.
Exactly.
It's really difficult.
So what is
feasible?
This is the only feasible thing. This is just a configuration in the base station. So you change the value within the configuration and say that all mobile terminated services are re-authenticated. And that's really all you can also add this one. But this won't prevent DOSing all location areas. So there is less probability to DOS location.
The first bullet, does this also solve the problem you mentioned of the detachment of the device?
No,
that's
also not fixable. Or at least if you don't change the GSM, you will always be able to detach the networks. This is a flaw which is in GSM and in UMTS. In UMTS, it also have been not corrected, and that won't change.
So I'm sure you deal with and you talk with German operators. How enthused are they about you publishing work that apparently cannot be fixed?
Actually, we've been in contact with at least E+. They were really nice, and we talked with technicians, and they say, yeah, there's nothing we can do about it. And we don't see the attacks. So if the cost of the attack is not the double of the cost which is to fix it, they just don't care. So if there's an individual doing this, well, there's an individual doing this. They cannot do anything against that. And that's what they said also.
Okay, because we had an interesting discussion yesterday at HotSec. HotSec, what happens if work is published that actually doesn't have exploits are published without reasonable and feasible countermeasures, right? Mm-hmm. And to what extent does this help the credibility of our own community? So I was wondering whether you had some reflections about that issue.
We've been in contact with them, and this mobile terminated services authentication is feasible. Also, implementing the new algorithm is feasible. It's just that it takes time, and now they know about it, and they say it's okay, just publish it. I mean, there's nothing we can do against, and it's good that everyone is also informed about these problems which we have in the GSM network.
Okay, thank you.
They also have no power to the vendors, so if they have a lot of attack, they can tell the vendors, please fix this bug, but they don't.
No, they have a lot of power with respect to the vendors. They purchase, they are the customers.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
If you want to fix it, it's 10,000 euros per base station to update it. Yeah, a lot of power.
Sure. Okay, thank you.
Hi, Stefan Serio, Microsoft Research. I have a very simple question. Could the tower detect these attacks by listening to duplicate messages?
Yes.
So can you tell me more about that?
So what we do is we win the racing condition. We send our paging response before the real phone sends the paging response. The base station know there are two paging responses, and it's just the state machine, the way it's implemented, it will only deliver a service to the phage paging response, but they could correct it, and they could know, okay, now there are two paging responses. I don't know which one is legit. There is no way to know which one is legit. So either I wait until it's one of them is authenticated. Yeah, that would be the best solution.
So just to be clear, so right now the second message is dropped on the floor by the cell tower.
Yeah.
The cell tower could can identify there are duplicate messages, but they cannot tell they come from two different handsets. Is that correct?
They could even know it comes from two different handsets because they know on which base station the paging response is coming from. So they know it's two different phones which are sending it. Okay. But they don't know which one is legit.
Right.
Some drop the paging response. And what's curious, actually, we've seen in O2 that the second paging response works. And as soon as the phone is authenticated, we also have the authenticated channel, so we can use this channel. That's also a bug which has not been solved.
Thank you.
So I just have two simple questions. The first is, have you mentioned that some of these attacks also carry over to non-GSM, like UMTS. Have you looked to see if they also carry further into the future, into the LTE, 3G, or whatever the next protocols are, being as they're, most of them have already been designed anyway, right?
We only looked at the UMTS specification. In the UMTS specification, paging is exactly the same. So this attack will also work on UMTS. There will be a bit more constraint because UMTS uses scrambling codes and other codes which restrict a bit the location area. But the mechanism is the same. You just won't have that huge coverage. And we didn't look at the LTE specifications, but the paging request, the authentication, the paging messages are the same as far as I know.
Okay, and then on the countermeasures, do you think that any of these you could implement with OpenBTS and kind of prototype some of the countermeasures to see which ones are easier, harder, which ones work better than others, or something to that extent?
Yeah, you can absolutely implement in either OpenBTS or OpenBSC. And the way that should be implemented is that you wait until the phone is authenticated, and then you know how it's done. And I think this is how it's done in OpenBSC. In OpenBTS, I didn't test it. I only tested for the time measurement. But in OpenBSC, it's how it's handled. It's waste for the once it's authenticated, and it will deliver the message to the authenticated one. So here, it's by chance that it's implemented the right way. They didn't thought about it.
Okay. Any more questions? All right. So the next thing on the agenda is lunch, and then we'll resume here. I think at 2 p.m. All right. Thank you.